Welcome to our adult Bible lesson here for November 10th. Today we're going to begin a new lesson series. We're going to be talking about the armor of God as it's described in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. I want to give credit to a book that I read, I guess it was before Tom was born, so it would be over 30 years ago. And it was called A Wardrobe from the King. I know in my early Christian life, I had heard about the armor of God, had heard some teaching and stuff, and some things made sense and other things didn't. But this book, A Wardrobe from the King, was written by B.H. Kjos, I believe is how you pronounce her name. It's a Norwegian name, B.H. Kjos. But she, being a woman, she described it as a wardrobe that the Lord gave us to give us for protection. And her point that I really appreciated was that when we put on Christ, we're putting on the armor of God, because that's what the armor of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I appreciated that approach. And so I took and used her book to make a series of lessons for our ladies' Bible study. And like I said, this was years ago. I don't know if any of our ladies remember us studying A Wardrobe from the King, but it was over 30 years ago. But I've taken those lessons and I've redone them. I've taught, condensed them, taught them at ALI, taught them several different places. But I'm redoing them again so that we can have our Sunday school series for the next several months here on the armor of God. And so today I'm going to try to introduce this lesson series to you. And so it's my intention this morning to provide you with a brief overview of the armor of God. And then each succeeding month, Lord willing, we'll sort of look at a different piece of the armor and describe it more fully. And so we're going to be using the entirety of Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 this morning as our scripture text. So if you would please stand, we'll read all of this together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking this shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay, I'm going to ask if Brother Tryon would pray for our lesson this morning. Amen. I think all of us here are aware that we are in an invisible war. In fact, this invisible war is of incredible dimensions. Day and night, the enemy seeks ways to invade our space. Spotting the tiniest gap in our protective covering, he sneaks in to steal our joy. He sneaks in to destroy our love. He sneaks in to shatter our peace. Stabbing at our vulnerable points, he devastates our thoughts. He distracts our attention, and he drains our strength. The foe we face is far more vicious. He's far more clever. In fact, he's far more powerful than any imaginary antagonist. Deadly arrows of doubt, arrows of discouragement, arrows of despair speed toward their mark, while the only refuge, our Lord Jesus Christ, he's our refuge from this destruction. He beckons us to come into his shelter and to share his victory. Those who long for victory over fear, those who long for victory over confusion, those who long for victory over depression or any other negative thought pattern cannot afford to be passive. Although it may seem unnatural for us to don armor and fight a battle, God shows us that in the spiritual arena, we must do so, because no one is immune to the enemy's attack. Each Christian must stand ready to fight every enemy to our peace, every enemy to our joy, and every enemy to the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are to live in the safety of God's covering, we must understand and we must utilize and we must trust in every piece of this protective clothing which the Lord offers us. This protective clothing is ready. It's fitted. It's waiting for our use. However, the Lord's protective garments differ greatly from ordinary garments. First of all, these garments are priceless. No payment could ever match their worth. Yet to us, they are free. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ offers them as a gift and would be disappointed if, and even probably insulted if we insisted on trying to pay for them, because there's no way that we possibly could. Second, we put on these garments from the inside out. They not only cover parts of our body, they become a part of us. They can put a radiance in our face, a sparkle in our eyes, and a new confidence in our countenance. Finally, the Lord calls these garments armor. Why does he call them armor? Because they will protect us from every attack of the enemy. It is only his armor that can guard us from spiritual attacks. It is only his armor that can guard us from emotional attacks. And it is only his armor that can guard us from physical attacks. It is only his armor that can guard us from these invisible enemies. Invisible enemies both within ourselves and outside ourselves. Enemies that are against our peace and the love and the joy, which are rightly ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Enemies that will destroy the hope and victory, which are ours in Christ. By his armor, the Lord Jesus Christ himself covers us. He keeps us safe. He keeps us close to himself. He keeps us free to be his precious friend and his trusted companion. The Lord Jesus Christ is our victory. I want you to remember back to the scripture text that we read, and note that there were several exhortations as we read our scripture text. In case you're not aware, an exhortation is an admonishment or a very strong encouragement to do something. So I want us to go back to our scripture text and take a look at these exhortations, these admonishments. The first one is, we find in verse 10, to be strong in the Lord. The second that we find is also in verse 10, and we're admonished to be strong in the power of his might. Then in verse 11, we are admonished to put on the whole armor of God. In verse 14, we are admonished to stand. In verse 17, we find the exhortation, the admonishment to take the helmet of salvation. In that same verse, we're also told to take the sword of the Spirit. Now, in addition to these exhortations or these admonishments, there is great emphasis placed on one particular exhortation, one particular admonishment, since it's repeated twice. And we find that in verse 11 and verse 13. Verse 11 tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And so does verse 13, which says, take unto yourselves the whole armor of God. It's extremely important that we do put on the whole armor of God and not just some of its pieces. Verse 11 and 12 explains to us that unless we put on the whole armor, this entire armor of God, we will not have the capability to withstand the schemes and the strategy of the enemy. After all, we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against principalities. We are fighting against powers. We are fighting against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And we are fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. The scripture has revealed the enemy's strategy to us. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 through 15, we read, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So we see how sneaky this is. If the enemy would come to us with a sign printed on him, "The enemy," we would have no trouble recognizing it and fighting. But they come as light or as righteousness. And this is why we need the Lord, because nothing fools him. We also can find in Revelation 12:10, where it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." So we see this is another tactic he uses, accusing us. And this is why we are admonished there in verse 11 to be strong, not in ourselves, but to be strong in the Lord and to be strong in the power of his might. We cannot depend on our own strength to win this war. Excuse me. Our focus, our reliance must be on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only through his strength, it is only through his power that victory will come. Now, the armor of God, as we read, is composed of several pieces. The first being the girdle of truth. We're told to gird ourselves about with truth. Then we have the breastplate of righteousness. Call it shoes of peace. Our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I would like for you to note the verbs that are used there in verses 14 and 15. In Ephesians 6:14, it says, "Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." And then in the next verse, verse 15, it says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." These verbs that are used in these two verses are past tense. So we are admonished to stand, but we are admonished to stand only after we have clothed ourselves in the girdle of truth, after we have put on the breastplate of righteousness, after we have on our feet the shoes of peace. This is a part of the defensive armor. It offers us protection, so we can stand only after we are clothed in this part of the armor. However, it is not enough to be clothed just in the defensive part of the armor that the Lord provides for us. In order for us to have victory, we must also go on the offensive. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given us weapons to go into battle on the offensive. And these weapons are the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which, as we saw, is the Word of God. Please note the tense of the verbs that are used with these particular parts of our armor. It says in 16, the first part of that verse, taking the shield of faith. And in verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. These verbs are present tense. So this means that each day we must choose to put on faith. Each day we must choose to put on salvation. Each day we must choose to put on the Word of God in order to fight and to defeat the enemy. Verse 18 concludes Paul's description of the armor with these words. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In order for the armor of God to be effective in our lives, we must pray in the Spirit and we must watch for all saints. So let's talk a little bit about wearing his armor. Most Christians, after coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ and after discovering all the marvelous resources that he has given us in his kingdom, think they have a pretty good handle on the Christian life. But they're ignorant of spiritual warfare. And so, being ignorant, they don't guard against the unruliness of their flesh, that old human nature that springs up. They do not guard against the deceits of the enemy. And so when the storms of life begin to hit them and hit them hard, they are taken completely by surprise. And suddenly their outward circumstances, along with their inner struggles, no longer seem to fit their vision that they thought that the Christian life would be. And so disappointment and failure and loss open the door in their life to doubt and despair. And doubt and despair raise questions that reflect the confusion that they feel in their heart. Questions such as, if God is our shepherd, why doesn't he take better care of us? Have you ever felt that way in the middle of a trial? I have. If God is our sovereign king, where is his power to provide strength and peace? I'm not feeling it right now. If he is our father, why isn't he more gentle with us? However, we need to realize that the problem is never with God, but the problem is always with us. Often the problem is that we have not seen all that he has offered us. And if we have seen what he has offered us, many times we have not applied what he has shown us to our lives. Many times his protective armor, which he has provided for us, hangs unused in our closet. Now, I think it's usually easy for us to picture a vertical love relationship with the Lord, such as his hand reaching down to us. Most of us are familiar with us. Most of us feel very comfortable with that. And it's usually just as easy for us to picture a horizontal relationship with him, a friendship with him, sort of walking with him side by side, working with him side by side. Yet, we usually miss the very best relationship he offers us. And that's the intimate union in which we become one with him. And Jesus gives us this description in John 14:20, where he says, "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." In other words, we become one with Christ. And because we are united with him, we've been offered the protection of his royal garments, this armor of God. And when we wear this royal armor, whatever touches us must first pass through him. So let's look at our royal armor. When we put on Christ, when we put on his protective armor, we do this not by rote recitation of the parts of the armor, but we put on Christ and his royal armor by entering into a relationship with the living God. We secure this new set of protective armor by a lifestyle of oneness and communion with him. This begins with a deep look at the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, as our sovereign, all-powerful God, who reigns over all, and this includes the counterfeit powers of the enemy, he's not only the armor as a whole, but he is also each individual part of that armor. He is truth, the filter and reference point of all we see, of all we hear, who has given us priceless promises. He is our righteousness, who has cleansed us and has renewed us so that we may stand spotless and beautiful before him. He is our peace, who comforts us with the assurance of his sovereignty, with the assurance of his wisdom, with the assurance of his love. He is our faith, who shields us from fear, who shields us from doubt, who shields us from despair. He is also our present salvation, as well as our past and future salvation. He's already saved us from guilt and condemnation, and he saves us today from every trial that comes our way. And one day, he will make it possible for us to exchange this decaying earthly body for a fresh new body. He is the victorious word. He has the power to win every battle. He is everything we need to live. He is everything to walk in this life. He is everything we need to work victoriously each and every day. So, having revealed himself to us, the Lord Jesus Christ does seek a response from us. He longs to give us all that he is. He longs to give us all that he has. But he can only fill us. He can only clothe us in his armor when we come to him in trust, when we come to him in humility, when we come to him in surrender. Now, we all know this attitude is contrary to our human nature. But we can obtain this attitude when we, by his Spirit, behold him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When we see his greatness, we can dare to trust him. When we see his greatness, we can admit our need. When we see his greatness, we can give ourselves to him for the accomplishment of his purpose. But first, we must yield our hearts to him. We may come to God each day with an attitude of trust. We may come to him each day with an attitude of surrender. Yet, this does not mean we will be immune to the struggles of life. It's essential to understand what God does promise to do, as well as to understand what God does not promise to do. If we presume that the protection of God's armor extends beyond his promise, we're going to become disappointed. We're going to become frustrated. The truth is this: his armor will not protect us against all the storms of life. Matthew 5:45 tells us that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So just because we are in Christ and have his armor doesn't mean we're just going to float through life on cloud nine or whatever without any problems. That's not what he has promised us. However, his armor will always protect us against the assaults of our enemy. And our enemy's arrows use the circumstances of this world to crush and destroy us far more than any circumstances in our life could ever do. In other words, what I'm trying to say is the Lord Jesus Christ will not always take us out of our circumstances, but he will ultimately bring victory in spite of our circumstances. He offers us his royal armor to protect us against discouragement. He offers us his armor to protect us against despair. He offers us his armor to protect us against feelings of hopelessness and feelings of worthlessness. These are all destructive emotions. These are destructive thought patterns that rise up within us to disturb our peace, to deny us our resources in Christ, and to quench our joy in him. This morning, Jesus is asking us, will you go on with me? Will you continue to share my life? When we allow him to hide us in himself, we become a part of his life. We go where he goes. We share his heart. We share his thoughts. We share his concerns. We share his actions. And since Jesus has called us to oneness with him, together with him, we can face storms and we can face the pressures of this world. Together with him, we bear the stab of rejection. Together with him, we share the pain of disappointments and we share the pain of loss. If Jesus isolated us from all suffering, we would no longer be his friend and follower. For he who is strong and we who are weak must walk together in his purpose. The very circumstances we would avoid, he uses to make us a living, present-day proof of his victory over the pressures of the world and the powers of the enemy. What a testimony. It's in this manner the very storms that once brought devastation now affirm victory of his royal armor. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 13 tells us, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Jesus reminds us, as we wear his royal armor, that we who share his vision, that we need to remember the importance of love. John 13, verses 34 through 35 tells us, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." This love is so important because we need each other. Now, we may be able to put on this royal armor alone, but without the support of faithful friends, we will become weary, and we may find it unbearably difficult to stand firm in all that he is. Though our primary relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ, he has made us to fit into one another's lives. He has made us to watch out and to care and to pray for each other with the very same concern that we have for ourselves. Remember Paul's plea as he completed his teaching on the armor, where he said, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." When the enemy directs doubt our way, or discouragement our way, or even fear at our weakest point, we need a friend who is in right standing before the Lord, who cares enough about us to prayerfully check to see if we're fully protected. And when the missiles reach their mark and the venom distorts our perspective where we can't see right anymore, we need a friend in right standing with the Lord who still sees clearly. Lifting each other up to the Lord Jesus Christ, we can stand together, and we can demonstrate God's victory in every painful, confusing, and challenging situation. And although I know it's a little early, I'm going to conclude this lesson with this thought, because I don't want to go over into the first part of the armor, which is truth, girding ourselves with truth, which I want to cover next month, Lord willing. It's my hope that in the coming months we're going to examine each of these parts of the armor in greater detail. And so, as I said, I'm hoping, and I've been planning to teach next month on gird with truth. So if you'd give me just a minute, I'd like to pray for us as we close our lesson out. Lord Jesus, in these next several months, we humbly ask that you teach us about the wardrobe of armor and how to put it on. Please build in us an awareness of our need of your armor and a willingness to wear this armor every day. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your righteousness in us. Thank you for the peace we have in and with you. Please keep us still in your presence as we work together. Let your peace flow through us to others. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. You are sovereign. You are wise. You are loving. And you are victorious. Thank you for salvation. We count on you to bring us victoriously through every daily challenge. Keep our hearts set on the hope of your final salvation. Thank you for your word. Please show us how to discipline our thoughts and emotions through your precious word. Transform us into your image by the complete renewal of our minds, so that nothing will hinder us from seeing your glory and knowing your will. We ask for this all in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your attention today.